You may be seated. No matter what, I don't know of anyone in all of the world or anyone, any accountable human being that wants to be a failure. Amen? Last week we talked about, you know, you cannot win at the game of sin. We talked about how a person would lose with that. And we all are in agreement with what we discovered throughout the scriptures. Today I want to share the fact with you that there are many times, sad as it is, there are some that walk as a Christian for many, many years, and then failure comes about. Would you agree that we can fail as a Christian? If we don't go with according to what the Bible says, if our life is not compliant and not conducive with what the Scripture says, I assure you that the Christian will fail. But none of us like to do that. For those that are still in the workplace today, I know you strive very, very hard. You want to do the right job you want, and you're desiring to be successful. So you will adhere to the policies and procedures and hopefully to the core values of what that company has, and just so you can be a successful part of that organization. Then for those of us that are parents and grandparents, we strive to do the right thing, to say the right things, to make the right decisions so that we can be a successful grandfather, grandmother, et cetera, et cetera. For the individuals out there today that is partaking in sporting events, man, that's a great thing, some good exercise, but you know, someone doesn't just start playing basketball one day and they're a pro the next day. No one starts playing football or kickball or whatever kind of sport you're doing and then start one day and the next day you're just perfect in it. It takes practice, doesn't it? It's continue on, just continuing to do all that you can to be a success in the sporting event. Have you ever met someone that can play about any musical instruments they want? You know, you've seen someone that can play the drums. You see someone play guitar. You see people that can play a trumpet, a saxophone, a clarinet, a flute, whatever. And you think, how in the world does an individual have that much talent? And when you ask them, how did you learn to do that? They said, well, it was just practice. I just kept on, you know, I picked it up and started practicing and just got better and better and better. Folks, I believe that applies to our Christian life today. What about you? You believe that as well? I'm convinced that when we talk about Christianity and we talk about walking as Christ Jesus would have us to walk, I'm personally convinced that it takes practice. That, you know, you're not just a born-again, baptized believer in Christ on Thursday or Friday or Tuesday or Sunday, whatever day you became a Christian, and then the very next day you are walking a perfect step. No, that's just far from the truth. We're walking and we're following after someone perfect, Jesus Christ. We're following his steps as he told us to follow his steps. But it takes an everyday, every single day to pursue him, doesn't it? To do what he, God, is calling us to do. As a Christian, as a child of God, it should be our aim. It should certainly be our goal not to be a failure in our Christian walk in life. But sadly, it is a true and sad fact that there are many, many folks today that are out in the world that at one time or another was involved in the church. Do you believe that? Many people today that you'll see outside of the double doors, you'll see outside of the fold of safety, outside of the body of Christ, and you wonder, what in the world happened? You remember, if you look back at some of those individuals, you remember them preaching or teaching or serving the Lord's Supper or presiding at the Lord's table. Maybe they're a door greeter. Maybe they was general maintenance in the building. Whatever it was, hospitality, there's a plethora of things that people could be involved in. And more importantly, someone that was involved in the Scripture and applying it richly to their lives. And then for whatever reason, because of the decisions that was made, they're back into the world. Folks, let me tell you something. Don't ever think that your Christian life cannot become a failure. Do you believe that it can? That's why we have to be alert. We can never, ever look down on others. We are to look at others. Amen. So I want to make sure, you've heard me say it many times before, it's not because I'm the preacher that we should go by this. It's because I believe that's what God wants. We are not judges. Say that with me. We are not judges. We are our brother's keeper. Amen. So we are to encourage other individuals, and we are to be encouraged. All we can do is share what the Bible says. Share what God says. If someone calls and says, hey, how do I deal with this? I'm going to tell you how I dealt with that. It may work for you. It may not work for you. But I believe if we go back to what the Bible says, I'm convinced that we can be a successful child of the Most High God. Are y'all with me so far? All right. So as we're thinking about these things, I do know in my heart that it's got to hurt God. It's got to hurt God when he sees Christians acting like sometimes Christians act. I remember, matter of fact, in the very beginning of time, when he was talking to Noah. Anybody in here remember Noah? And I remember he was getting ready to destroy the world, wasn't he? Why was he going to destroy the world? Because the world had become what? Evil and wicked and sinful. And you remember the words that Jesus used back in the book of Genesis? He said, you know, I am sorry that I even created mankind. God regretted making us, creating us, because we were failing as a follower of God. We was failing God because we wasn't holding what he, God, was calling us to do. I wonder if a lot has changed since then. We have a lot of folks in the world today, on the other hand, on the other end of the spectrum, that think that they are so high they can't fall. You ever met that person that, oh, he is just God's assistant? That's Jesus' assistant. And, you know, so that he or she just don't think they can fall and they think they can just say anything, do anything they want. No, God's just going to forgive. Well, that's not true. God will forgive the repentant sinner. Amen. But if we continue in sin, knowing right from wrong, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. You may not like your preacher saying that. I'll tell you up front, I don't even like that passage of Scripture. In Hebrews 10:26, if we sin willfully after knowing right from wrong, there no longer remains a what? Sacrifice. Thank you, Chase. There no longer remains a sacrifice for that sin. I don't like that. You know why I don't like it? Because it's very convicting, isn't it? So it warrants a change. I have to make a change. Well, I'm an old guy. I don't like changes. If I want to go to heaven, I better make a change. Amen. So I do love that passage of Scripture. I don't like what it does as far as a conviction, but I like the fact it'll save my soul if I hold to those teachings. There were some people years ago, they were members of the church. Matter of fact, Heather, they was members of the Corinthian church. And some of them thought that they was just so high and mighty. They could judge other people, but they didn't think they could be judged. They thought, Jerry, that they could just do anything they wanted. They thought that there's no way under the sun, Tony, that they could fall from faith. They didn't think that they could. But you know what, Larry? He warned them about this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, down in verse 12. He said these words, Paul did, to the church, to the brethren. He says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands, finish it up, take heed lest he fall. So he's given a warning. For those Christians today that think that they're all that, oh, you better be careful. It's okay. It's good to take pride in your walk with Christ. I hope that you do. I take pride in my walk with Christ, but I'm not being prideful. Do you see the difference? We take pride in what we do, but we can't be prideful that we are looking down on other people instead of looking to other people. It is indeed a true fact that the Christian can fall away from the fold of safety. It's a true fact that the Christian can fail in their walk with Christ Jesus if they're not careful. I'm not trying today to discourage you, but rather to encourage you and myself to always check ourselves. Do you agree with that? We need to check ourselves and find out where we're at. The other day at the funeral home, there was this particular lady in there, and she kept pulling her pants leg up to her knee, and she did one, then she did the other, and she went back to that, and I said, what is wrong with you? You need some Benadryl? She said, no, I'm checking for ticks. And I was thinking about that. Well, you know what? We ought to be checking for ticks. Amen? We need to find out if there's something about our Christian life that's sucking the life out of us. We need to find out if there's something sucking the blood out of us, that blood of Jesus. Check yourself, brothers and sisters. I'm going to check myself according to Scripture and make sure that we don't have those ticks. Are you getting the picture? All right, so let's make sure that we're doing that, that we're following. Again, not trying to discourage you, but to encourage you. Let's check ourselves and make sure that we are walking in our faith and not by sight. I think about what Paul told the Corinthian church again over in 2 Corinthians 5, I think it's verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by what? Walk by faith, not by sight. Also, do you remember what Jesus said about walking in his steps? Over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, down in verse 21. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, it can seem like we're walking aimless. You ever thought about that? you know, I'm going to church, I'm reading the Bible, I'm doing this, but I still feel a little bit shattered, I still feel a little bit uncomfortable. Jesus cleans that up for us. That's what I love about the Lord. 1 Peter 2:21, watch this. For to this you were called. Why? Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow whose steps? His steps. If we follow, brothers and sisters, if we follow the very steps of Jesus Christ, I promise you, you can't go wrong. The book of Colossians chapter 3, down in verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then, if you will, drop down to verse 23. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to who? Man. Let God be your God. Let Christ be your God. Don't let man be your God. Amen? Sometimes man can become our God, small g, if we allow it. Sometimes our material blessings can become our God, small g, if we allow it. Sometimes your checking or your savings account may become your God, small g, if you let it. Maybe it's a mother. Maybe it's a daddy, a brother, sister, cousin, niece, nephew, girlfriend, boyfriend can become your God, small g, if you allow it. Amen? My God is the God who sent Jesus for me. My God is the God who created. In the beginning, who? Absolutely. That's the one that's my God. That's the one, Darlene, that I choose to serve. The very one that loved us so much, he gave us his only begotten son, that whosoever... There you go. That's the God that I believe in. That's the God that I serve. If we want to have a successful life with Christ, it's entirely possible. Matthew 6:33, the Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of and his and all these things. Very good. The first point we're going to consider this morning as we talk about some causes for Christian failure, there's going to be a few that we're going to cover. So what are some elements of the failed Christian life? That's the first point. What are some of the elements of the failed Christian life? I am convinced, brothers and sisters, for me, one of the biggest things that I have to fight against is worldliness. Anybody else? There you go, Chase. The things of the world can become very attractive, can't they? The devices that Satan uses to try to grab and pull me away from God, very powerful. Anybody else? So worldliness is what we have to be aware of. Worldliness is what we have to really watch. And let me show you a passage of Scripture that I believe will help us with that. But the love of the world and the things of the world leads to mingling, brothers and sisters, with the world. And it leads to us being pulled into those allurements and those traps. And when we involve ourselves in the world and the things of the world, here's what will happen, Teresa. It will choke out our desire to love God. Now, because we either love God or we love the world. Isn't that right? And if we are in love with the world and we're paying attention to the world and we're engaged in the world, you notice over here, Tony, here's the world. Well, if God's over here and I'm in the world, my back has now been turned to who? God. Can't do that, can we? We can't be a successful walk in Christ if my back is against God. So we have to, brothers and sisters, be very, very careful. Let me show you this in the light of the Scripture. Very familiar passage of Scripture, 1 John 2:15 through 17. All found? All right. The Bible says, do not love the or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world. Now watch how this writer of the New Testament, watch how he's describing things. For all that is in the world, here it is, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of... The Bible says it's not of the Father, that's of the world. Jesus didn't come up with this. You did. The devil did. The worldly, the fleshly. Is that about right? And the world, the Bible says, is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God, the Bible says what? Abideth how long, Darlene? Forever. Absolutely. Then I think about what we see over in the book of James. James chapter 4, down in verse 4. The Bible says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an what? An enemy of God. How many people want to be God's enemy today? Please do not raise your hand. If you do, get up here to this front row. We got to have some conversation. Nobody in here, I'm convinced, nobody wants to be an enemy of Almighty God, or you wouldn't be here today. Amen? We want to be a friend of the Lord. We want God to be our friend. We want to be His friend. We want to serve God because we love God. Far too many people today in the world are involved in the world and not involved with Christ. So not only worldliness would be an element, brothers and sisters, of a Christian failure, but I'm also convinced of this. Here's another one for you. How about stubbornness? How about stubbornness? Think I'd be one, Jerry? People are stubborn as mules, aren't they? So we have to be very, very careful with that. But stubbornness, not only would worldliness be an element of Christian failure, but so would stubbornness. That can certainly cause an individual to fail their walk with Jesus Christ. Some people are so stubborn, they're stuck in their old traditional ways. You agree with that? Mama and daddy never said you had to do that. Mama and daddy's been dead for 35 years. You think he's in heaven or hell? Do you think she's in heaven or hell? Who knows? We're not the judge. But the Bible tells me how I can get to heaven. Is that about right? I'm going to go by what God says. I love the mama. I love dad. I love my brothers. I love the people in my family that's passed on. But I don't love them enough that I'm going to change my view. And I'm not going to love them enough that I'm going to change my direction. Let me just be right ugly with it. I ain't going to help anybody. Amen? And you shouldn't either. We should go to heaven because of our love for God. We should go to heaven because we desire to be in heaven. We should go to heaven because it's unspeakable. I am too dumb to be able to come up with words to tell you how great heaven is. Matter of fact, John, over in the book of Revelation, struggled with it, didn't he? He had to use a lot of symbolism talking about how beautiful heaven's going to be. But when Jesus says, in my Father's house are many what? If Jesus is calling it a mansion, can you imagine how awesome it's going to be? You just ask a question and it warrants an answer. And so can you just imagine how nice that's going to be? So I want to prepare myself, and I want to help you prepare for that great venture that we're going on. People have got to give up the stubbornness. It don't matter what Aunt Myrtle Dean said. It doesn't matter what this group said or that group said. We must go by what the Scripture says. Far too many people in the world today are so stubborn that they want to do things their way, and they want to do things on their terms. Folks, it doesn't work like that. You're either with Christ, for Christ, and love Christ, or you're with the devil, for the devil, and love the devil. Amen? There is no middle ground. You are either representing God or you're representing the devil. You're doing one of those two things every single day. But Jesus says that if you love me, you're going to do what I'm telling you to do. John 14, 15, say it with me. If you love me, keep my commandments. Very good. So let me remind you, according to God's word, that you and I together, we must make a choice. I have to think about Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Velma, I've never liked this passage of Scripture either because it makes me change, which thank God it did. Matthew 6, 24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other. He'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. You can't serve God and the devil at the same time. Is that right? Okay. So listen, Satan, sadly, has a death grip on many, many people today. Please don't allow him to lure you in. Please do not allow Satan to grab and maintain your attention. Don't let him offer you these pieces. Listen to me closely. Do not let Satan offer you these pieces of temporary happiness. Are you following me? Whether it be drinking, whether it be adultery, whether it be pornography, whether it be attendance forsaking the assembly, whether it be thievery, whether it be, there's a whole list of things. Do not, please, I'm begging you, and I'm asking for encouragement myself, do not let Satan offer these temporary pieces of happiness. Because number one, it's not happiness, is it? True happiness is only found in the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ. Those are temporary pieces of deception. He's going to deceive you. He's going to do everything he can to say, to convince you that it's okay. You're just weak. You're really trying. You're really striving. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about this. You're going to be okay. No, you're not. No, you're not. Neither am I. If we're not striving to hold to the teachings of the Bible, God knows our heart. Amen? He knows. I can convince you that I'm doing something different. I can convince Abby I'm doing something different. But God knows the truth. He knows whether we are seriously striving and seriously seeking him to get away from that particular sin or sins. And he knows whether we're just yielding to that temptation. Don't yield to the temptation of the devil. Give him an inch. And what does most people say? Give him an inch, he'll take what? But that's not true, is it? Give him an inch, he'll take your life, won't he? So let's please be very, very careful with that. Matthew 6:24. You can't serve both. Satan has a death grip, as I said, on many, many people today. He offers us these little pieces of temporary happiness, if I may. So let's be firm. Let you and I be very, very firm, Jerry, in our walk with Christ. Do not. You and I are not going to give in to the desires of life. Amen? We're going to stick together, brother. Let's be sure that we're not stubborn, so stubborn, brothers and sisters, that we do not heed the voice of Jesus, the calling of God. And I appreciate the passage that was read a while ago in Psalms chapter 81, 8 through 14. Oh, that my people, the scripture calls it, oh, that my people would listen to me. Folks, there are words of God, and these are particular words of God, who he's talking about today in regards to the people that are practicing this thing called stubborn. Quit being stubborn. Allow God to come in. Allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse your life, to make that change. Some people are fearful because they don't know what their friends are going to think, or what mom's going to think, or dad's going to think, or whoever's going to think. Who cares what they think? Where will they be on judgment day? Are they the ones that's going to stand before God and plead your case? No. It's Jesus that's going to plead your case. So let's satisfy Jesus Christ. We've talked about worldliness. We talked about stubborn. Let's move on to something else. The elements of the failed Christian life could also involve many other things as pride, misdirected pride. Would you agree with that? We also can believe and know that if we don't have, Velma, this is yours, if we don't have faithful obedience unto God, it's going to be a failed Christian life. We have got to be faithfully obedient. I love what Velma taught us several years ago when we were all together in open forum. Velma made it clear it has to be faithful obedience. Well, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, what's the difference? Obedience, faithful obedience. Because there are some people that are practicing obedience. It's obedience on Sunday, and it may be obedient on Wednesday, but are you being faithfully obedient in every walk of life? Y'all seeing the difference? I didn't like it either. But the reality is, it was a wake-up. Thank you, Velma, for sharing that with us. Faithfully obedient. If we're neglecting that, we're neglecting our walk in Christ. Here's another one. I've already talked about it. Fear of man. I can honestly say, Chase has known me for years. I've known him since he was 7 years old. Chase, have I ever cared what people thought? You'd have to say it like that. But anyway, no. And I hope that you don't care what people think. The only time we should care what people think is in our representation toward Christ. Amen? We need to make sure that we are not showing off, look at me, Mr. Christian, but we need to do what the Bible says. Y'all say it with me. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works glorifying Father, which is, that's our job, brothers and sisters. Fear of man. Yeah, can't let that stop us. How about this one? Self-sufficiency can cause us to fail in our Christian life. Thinking we can handle everything on our own. Thinking that we can come up with enough ideas that we can get to heaven. Surely God, surely God, surely God. No, no, and no, absolutely not. You cannot work your way into heaven. Amen. You can perform a multitude of deeds. You can do all these great alms. You can become a theologist if you want. You can do all these things and still blow hell wide open. The only way you're getting to heaven is by doing what Jesus says. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the... You said it. Also, neglecting our prayer life. Do we neglect our prayer life sometimes? Be careful. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without So all of these elements could be elements of a failed Christian life. I know we could go on talking about that, but I'm going to give you some more juice. Really seriously, don't know of anyone that would intentionally, this very day, intentionally fail in their Christian walk. However, there are many that do and many that will. So let's be sure that we do all that we can to preserve, if I may, our walk with Jesus Christ. To do all we can in our, Velma, our faithful obedience unto Jesus Christ and our love for God. Doing all that we can to show God and to show others just how much we love our Father above. Our second point, very short point. And then our third point will be our conclusion as well. So here's the next one. So I want us to look at some things that failing the Christian life leads to. Is that all right? Failing the Christian life leads to these things. Number one, Romans chapter 6, down in verse 23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We know, brothers and sisters, listen closely, that when you continue and we continue to practice sin, knowing right from wrong, it leads to death. Now, let me clear this up. Everybody's going to die, yes or no? Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed once for a man to die, but after this, the judgment. But this death is talking about a spiritual death, amen? A separation from God, a total darkness, agony, defeat, blistering, horrible, some of the worst things you can imagine, and not just to spend eternity, but be there for eternity. It's never going to end. I wish I could get that point across to people in our world today that think that the money's more important, or drugs are more important, or sex is more important, or all of these things are more important. None of that means a thing, folks. What means something to us is salvation, amen? Going to heaven, because this is short-lived. I don't care if you live to be 103, that's real short. If you live to be 110, you might get a trophy from Channel 4 News. But that is as much as you're going to get. But when we go to heaven, for those that are faithful and go to heaven, we have a mansion that's waiting for us. We will be in the presence of Almighty God, and we'll be there forever and ever and ever. And I can't even begin to tell you how great it's going to be. Oh, I long for that beautiful place called heaven. So am I going to compromise my walk with Christ? Not intentionally. Am I going to sin? Yeah. Am I going to fall short? Yes. But not intentionally. I'm going to trip up. I'm going to fall. But I'm going to strive every day to do better. I commit this sin today. I'm going to make sure tomorrow that I do my better and not fall back into that again, because God knows my heart. But I cannot, Jerry, commit this sin and say, "Okay, God, I'm sorry. I won't do it again." And then I do good for a week. I'm going to come over here. "Okay, God, I did it again. I'm sorry. Okay, God, I did it again." He's not going to play with that. He says he'll turn us over to a what kind of mind? Reprobate mind. He's going to let it go. Get out. Don't think for one second all these big knuckleheaded people out here in the name of religion saying, "Oh, God is a loving God. He'll never give up on you." Really? He owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology then, don't he? He owes the people in the flood a huge apology if he don't give up. God doesn't give up on us if we come to him with a full, repentant heart and striving to do better. But he will not allow us to commit spiritual adultery against him. You cannot put on the breastplate of righteousness. You cannot put on the helmet of salvation. Don't you carry around that sword of the Spirit, calling yourself a Christian, and then living like the devil, and then thinking God's going to be good with it. He's not. I may not be your most popular preacher, but I'm telling you, according to the Bible, what he tells us. Like it or not. Period. Amen? All right. It applies to me and all of us. So, while it is true that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, there is a difference, and I don't want anybody to get this wrong when I say there's a difference in sin. That doesn't mean, well, what's your sin? High sin, low sin, blue sin, green sin? It goes back to that intentional sin. Amen? God knows if we mess up, but he knows if we're just continuing to practice that sin. I think about what the Bible says. I think it's over in James. Yeah. Well, y'all want to head there, or y'all already there, aren't you? Figures, let me find it. I'm proud of you. Hebrews, James. All right, so we're going to James chapter what? 1, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 22. All found? All right. So watch this. James 1, 12 through 22. The Bible says, blessed is the man who endures what? Mm-hmm. So here comes that sin walking up to you, the door of your heart. It's me. Can I come in? No, you can't. Get out. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Remember, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my what, Heather? All right. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. Boy, this cleans it up, doesn't it? When those temptations come, don't blame it on God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. He just said that right here. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, the Bible says it brings forth what? Death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Look how this is being brought out. Man, when I just first became a Christian, I didn't like this stuff. I'm like, man, this dude's rough. Every good gift, every perfect gift from above comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Verse 21. Therefore, listen to these instructions to Jerry Ladd and others. Everybody ready? Therefore, lay aside how much of the filthiness, all of it, and overflow of what? And receive with meekness the implanted word. Why? Because it's able to do what? Here's the next part. Be ye doers of the word of God and not what? Finish it. All right. So we can't just be hearing the word of God. We've got to practice it. Amen? Got to put it into practice. All right. So failing our walk with Christ, failing as a Christian, will certainly lead to spiritual death. We can also know that failing the Christian life can and will lead to unfruitfulness. We are to bear fruit for the Lord. Amen? Bearing fruit for the Lord. Galatians 5, 22 through 26 will give you some things that we should be doing. Failing the Christian life, I want to tell you this, as we get ready to close here in just a few minutes, failing the life, the Christian life is very expensive. Would you agree with that? Very, very expensive. Eternally expensive. And this price, the price that doing that has, will cost you your very soul. Failing the Christian life will lead to such things as dishonor. It'll lead to defeat. It will lead you to living a lukewarm life. It will lead you to selfishness. It will lead you to discouragement. It will lead you feeling, as I said, totally defeated. And ultimately, I promise you, disappointment, and at the end, destruction. Amen. That's what this is going to lead to if we don't fix it. Failing to live the Christian life, failing our walk with Jesus Christ, will lead to this doubt. Now, doubt is what Satan's main tool is. He wants us to doubt God's existence. He wants us to doubt our importance in our role in the church. He wants us to doubt the importance of assembling with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And if he can get us on one end and he can sew us up with that, once that's done, he's going to get some more needle and thread, isn't he? He's going to sew us up in other areas. Don't let Satan have his way with you. Say amen if you believe it. The third and final point and conclusion is all going to be concluded right here as we close. So, we've talked about all this. What's the remedy? That's kind of important, isn't it? What is the remedy to all of this? Surrendering to Jesus Christ. That's the answer, is being willing to surrender to our Father above. Psalm chapter 46. Would y'all like to go there? All right. Psalm 46, go to verse 10. Surrendering to Jesus, surrendering to his will and way. And I love the passage of scripture found right here in Psalm 46, 10, where the Lord invites us to a place of, I love this, the Lord invites us to a place, Jerry, of quiet surrender. Okay? We can feel at peace. We can feel calm. We can feel loved. This world doesn't make me feel loved. My family does. Some people, but not all people. But with Jesus, we can certainly feel loved, and we can recognize God's peace, and we can recognize his presence. It's a reminder for us to let go and let God. Amen? Psalm 46, verse 10, the Bible says, listen to this, be still and know that I am who? I'm God. I will, the Bible says, I will exalt you among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. Now let me show you something else you're already familiar with. Let's go back to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, 1 through 6. You talking about comfort. Watch this. I want you to do it with me. Y'all ready? Everybody found it? All right, Psalm 23, 1 through 6. Let's do it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff. What do? They comfort me. You prepare us, come on, a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord, congregation, forever. There is for me no more comforting words than that. Look at the promise that God gives us. We'll have complete perfect in Christ Jesus. Our life will be perfect in God one of these days. We don't have to continue in error. We don't have to continue wondering. God promises us and gives us what he says he will. We can also learn to recognize sin and confess it when we do wrong. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. When we sin, and we're going to, when we fall short and miss the mark, we don't need to really beat ourselves up over and over and over, but rather learn from our past. Learn from our sins. It'll help us grow. When we see our lives falling apart, when we see things that are starting to kind of get some splinters, if I may, in life, and we see things that are kind of falling apart, I'm convinced what has helped me, Dana, this has helped me more than anything, is get deep in his word. Get deep in his word. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul told Timothy, he said, study to show thyself approved unto. He said, rightly divide the word of truth. You remember that's what he told him. Hey, y'all like it or not? All right. And then you'll see it again over in Joshua 1:8. So, as we close and we talk about the remedy for failing the Christian life, make sure that we pray every day. Say it with me. Pray every day. The next one, attendance in the Lord's church. Don't forsake the assembly. Say that with me. Don't forsake the assembly. The next one, association. If we associate with other members of the household of faith or associate with other Christians, you'll be encouraged. Amen? If you associate heavily with those outside of the church, outside the body of Christ, those that are involved in the world, you're going to smell just like them. Dad, I've shared with you so many times. Dad used to say it all the time. You cannot walk through a landfill and smell like roses. Am I about right? So you can't be hung out with all these, and people come out with, Jerry, you know, wait a minute. Jesus ate with sinners. Jesus was perfect. Jesus ate with sinners. He was strong enough to do it. Are we? Are you? Am I? According to our lifestyle, no, we're not, because we still sin and fall short. Jesus was the only perfect one. I'm not saying to abstain and not help people, but we have to be very careful. Amen. Don't let anything or anybody cause turbulence in your life. Abstain from evil. The Bible even says that. Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals or good manners. Walk humbly. Say that with me. Walk humbly before God and live faithfully and committed unto him and not lukewarm. We know about the church at Laodicea lived a lukewarm life. He didn't have it. The church at Ephesus was accused of, because of their actions, being one that left their first what? That's right, Darlene. So he was talking, Paul was talking about it. John brought it up over in Revelation, said, hey, we need to talk about this. You kind of left your first love. How many of us are like the church at Ephesus? We know right from wrong. We know that we love God, but our lifestyle doesn't show that. We've kind of turned her back. We've left the first love. You're invited this morning to come. You still got breath in your body. You can make sure that things are right in your relationship with God. If you're not a Christian, I'm begging you in the light of the scriptures to become one. hear his word. I gave it to you. Believe. Believe in Jesus. Believe that he died for you. And he was resurrected. 3 days later, he rose again for you, for me. Confess your belief in Jesus Christ in the presence of a witness or witnesses. Upon that confession of faith, the Bible tells us to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins and to live a faithful life unto death. Isn't that about right? And always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Today, if you're a Christian, you kind of wandered off from the fold of safety. That can happen to us. Don't play. You never know when this life is going to end. Make sure your life is right. Because at the very end of your life, man, what matters is, were you a Christian or not? That's what matters. That preacher at the funeral can't preach you into heaven. But only Jesus Christ and the Father above can get you into heaven. But it's based on your obedience and your love for him. If you love me, it's up to you. If you have a need, you need it all. Come now. It's